I'm Carol Hills, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. A courtroom drama has gripped many in Minneapolis for the past few weeks. Three young Somali Americans stood trial on charges of plotting to travel to Syria to join ISIS. Last Friday, the three young friends were all found guilty. Minnesota Public Radio's Duahli Saikautau has been following the case and the reaction.
What was the hardest to watch during the trial was when the three former friends of the defendants, two who had already pled guilty to conspiring to travel to Syria, testified against the defendants. That's when there were whispers of alleged threats against the families in the court gallery. There was a scuffle outside the courtroom between the families. One Somali American woman was forced to the ground and detained. Another was banned from the courtroom. It was just, you know, unprecedented security.
I know you spoke with Murad Mohammed. He was the defense attorney for one of the defendants. That defendant is Mohammed Farah. Here's what he told you about how he viewed these defendants.
None of these three kids had any intention or said anywhere in the hours of recorded conversations that were done by the undercover human source. Not a single person had any intention to hurt America. These kids had no clue how to leave the country. I mean, they were hatching plans that involved, you know, putting themselves in shipping containers to get overseas. And that's how childish these children were. They're laughing at these videos.
I mean, laughing or not, the videos tend to be very gruesome. Ultimately, did the trial teach us much about the state of mind of these young defendants?
Well, the prosecutors obviously will tell you that there was just an abundance of evidence to show what these young men were thinking, how they were plotting, and their repeated attempts to actually try to travel, from their attempts to go to San Diego, to travel through to Mexico, to try to go to Turkey. There were just many attempts, according to the prosecutors. But the family members and even court observers, people who had nothing to do with these young men or who weren't related, they were like, these young men were just being young men. They were pumping up themselves, talking about things that they probably shouldn't be. They were playing paintball, which the prosecutors had argued was training for war. You have prosecutors who are saying, look, the evidence is clear, and family members and community members saying, you know, not so much. They were just young kids who sounded and who giggled about watching videos.
Now, I know there's those in the Minneapolis community who thought the trial did some real good because it shook residents out of what some called denial. Here's U.S. Attorney Andrew Lugar.
One obstacle to preventing terror recruiting in Minnesota is the persistence of ISIL. They are reaching out to our youth with a powerful but false message. But there is a second obstacle to stopping this recruiting: denial. It will take the entire community working with local, state, and federal government agencies to stop ISIL from recruiting more Minnesota youth.
Duahli, I'm curious, were the prosecutors able to draw any parallels between how they believe these three young men were being recruited and how previous Somalis had been successfully recruited and joined ISIS or some other terrorist group abroad?
Prosecutors tried to stay focused on the fact that these men were persistently trying to travel to Syria and focused pretty much on ISIS, which is why so many propaganda videos were shown. It was really more about what these young men were thinking in this moment and where they were headed. And that was the biggest question, is did they really just talk more than they meant to? And all talk and no action, basically.
And what kind of sentences could the three face?
That's the big money question, because U.S. District Judge Michael Davis, he's experimenting with this de-radicalization program, essentially sort of how can he try to give these youths a second chance? And maybe he'll put these three defendants in the group that's already pled guilty, or maybe he'll sentence them to 10 to 15 years for the crimes that they've committed. It's really hard to know because this is the first time that a case like this has included multiple defendants and at such a young age. But in the end, they could face life in prison.
Minnesota Public Radio's Duahli Saikautau, thank you so much.
Thank you.